Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of backwards from bad, doing the right things today with the assumption wrong things happen tomorrow. And joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a great industry thought leader, Mike Boone, the Chief Operating Officer of ITEX. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So when you told me that the topic that you wanted to discuss, backwards from bad, doing the right things today with the assumption wrong things happen tomorrow, I'm find that very intriguing and maybe a little bit scary. So let's talk a little bit. What does that topic mean?
Well, it is counterintuitive, but if you go out and talk to people about challenges they have or successes they want to have, most of the time they're assuming success. And sadly, the only thing we can be guaranteed is that we're going to make mistakes. There's going to be failures, and even more so true, things will happen we're not planning on. And so planning for these things that we know could inevitably happen is very, very important to protect, whether it's our company, the health and wellness of our employees or residents. And so that's what I'm really focusing on is okay, we know that there might be a hurricane, right?
Sure.
What preventative maintenance can we do today to make sure that we're as protected as we can be? What resident notifications can we give out to make sure that we're saying, hey, this is what you do if you get these notices from the weather organizations. So,
no, I mean, and that makes sense. And then, of course, when you think of something that I would say, it's hard for me to say nobody would predict this, but I think took a lot of people by surprise is the pandemic. I mean, that's a different thing. I mean, is there anything in your bag of tricks that you would have done to prepare for something like that, some type of an occurrence like that?
Well, you know, first being caught up on our work orders.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's one thing that kind of had to stop. We couldn't go in the units all the time. So if, preventative maintenance is a very important process that we need to be going through as an industry, again, with the assumption that if you don't go and check to make sure that there's smoke detectors, and then there's a fire, someone could be hurt, right? So assume there's going to be a fire. Just assume it. It's sad, but assume it. And prepare appropriately. If you have to have classes to teach the residents how to use a fire extinguisher, if you have to make sure that the fire department can get in your gate, just think about all these things. Assume that something bad is going to happen, a fire, and think backwards from that. And you get into what do we wish we could do now? If we were standing in front of a jury and we're being asked as landlords, as people who are in the position to care for the well-being of the people that call us home, right? Mm-hmm. What do we want to be able to say to a jury after something bad's happened that we did to prepare to help people to the greatest extent that we can and to protect the company?
Now, when you're thinking about this and you're trying to prepare for this, what would you recommend to our listeners that they do? I mean, obviously, I would think one of the things is try to list all of the and write down all of the potential bad things that could happen, and then maybe make a checklist for each one of those items of what you could do to prepare.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in the military, we call them contingency plans.
Yeah.
I mean, the military is only in existence because they assume bad things are going to happen, right?
Exactly.
I mean, think about it.
Exactly.
If we knew nothing bad was ever going to happen, then we don't really need the military.
Right.
I mean, sorry, guys. So, yeah, I mean, and I would say most management companies do have what you might call preventative maintenance or regular things that they go through, but it's usually based on what they've experienced in the past. Mm-hmm. So if a management company has not experienced a child drowning, right, in mm-hmm. a pool, and that pool being so foggy you couldn't see them, but had you been able to see them, you could have saved the child because you would have seen the child. Mm-hmm. If they haven't been through that, then they're not hyper focused at the beginning of summer when they open the pool to make sure that all of your maintenance staff is trained. Do not have a cloudy pool. Mm-hmm. Don't have a green pool for appearance purposes and health purposes, but don't have a cloudy pool. And I think so just going through each of those different scenarios and thinking, what can we do today?
And I would imagine that had you been, you know, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of people in the industry have been through fires mm-hmm. and probably a lot of people, depending on where they're located, have been through hurricanes or yeah. tornadoes or something mm-hmm. or things like that. So those are things. But I would imagine that something you've never been through, you know, what resources can they call other people in the industry that mm-hmm. they know, or, you know, through LinkedIn, put a poll out there.
Yeah.
What should I do if I want to prepare for this and have and create a checklist? What would you recommend?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So the American Red Cross, the folks that have seen these things happen
yeah.
and struggled with them, go to them and say, hey, what can we do to better ensure that people live through whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. Right. And then the other big thing is, assume that your staff is not doing what you think they're doing and verify that it is getting done. For instance, if you say to a company you have 100 properties you manage and you say, okay, regional managers, make sure we have fire extinguishers that work everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. But you have to assume 80% of the people will actually do it 80% of the time, which means they're 20% to 80% aren't, and 20% are just going to ignore you, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to go verify to make sure that things are getting done. Then as far as just general practice, IREM, the Institute of Real Estate Management,
sure.
National Apartment Association, they all have extensive preventative maintenance, and they'll address things specifically like fire, hurricane, flood. For crime, that's more difficult because sometimes mm-hmm. people feel like just having the conversation of, well, there's a dark area on our property. I'm afraid if we don't get lights on it, someone's going to get shot, right? And I'll get into that
yeah.
in a little bit. But we have to be careful as we explore those things and what we say that can be subpoenaed or goes out public. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need to think through that. Just assume that someone's going to get shot, right?
Yeah.
That's terrible. But what are we doing to make sure all the lights are on?
Yeah.
And so I really believe just giving it thought, just thinking about it, is going to cause things to naturally occur to anyone of average intelligence to say, wait, we don't want somebody to get shot.
Yeah.
And having a really bright property is certainly going to help prevent that.
Yeah. And it obviously it's not just lighting in those cases. It's overgrown landscaping where people can hide behind yes. things and, having your security gates functioning properly and having, some type of a watch created with your own personnel and maybe some of your residents of anything yeah. that you need to know about. I mean, those are all techniques I think that could certainly be used. You know, we live and I want to talk about this more in the second segment, but just kind of to get started on it. We live in a society that is very litigious, and certainly the multifamily industry is not immune from lawsuits and things like that. And you've mentioned a couple of times so far in this segment that, you know, if you're in front of a jury and so forth, what do you see and what are your feelings about how people should be operating to try and keep themselves from getting in those situations?
So, like you said, in the second segment, we'll get into this more, but the truth is you can't always assume that people are going to act with integrity,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we can't go out and guess and say, well, this resident tripped on a leaf, right? And now they're going to sue us because the leaf was really big. You can't control their integrity,
mm-hmm.
but you can operate on principles. And yeah. so if you know that, you know, you've got a sidewalk that's broken and it's preventing an issue that someone could trip on, then fix it. Just operate on principles and do what you know is the right thing. And then we'll get into the steps you can take to the best extent possible, counter the attacks that may come at you from a sense of lack of integrity, whether it's from an attorney or a resident or somebody else, even an employee maybe,
yeah,
where they're saying that things occurred that maybe didn't really occur.
Yeah.
Or putting responsibility on the landlord or the owner that isn't justified.
Yeah. And by the way, for our listeners, this is not just a issue that's, you know, specific to one geographic area. This can happen anywhere. Absolutely. in any state and city in the country. So I think these words should really be taken into consideration as far as what we need to do. I'll tell you what, we're going to break it here because I want to get back into that topic, and we're about to come up to a stopping point for the first segment. We're going to be back right after these messages with more of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of backwards from bad, doing the right things today with the assumption wrong things happen tomorrow. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a great industry thought leader, Mike Boone, the Chief Operating Officer of ITEX. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Mike, in our first segment, we kind of ended the segment where I made the comment that we live in a very litigious world where people are getting sued and taken to court. And, of course, you made the comment some of the comments earlier in that segment about, you know, when you're thinking about things, think about if you had to be in front of a jury, which kind of, you know, amplifies the litigious aspects of what we live in. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in the industry right now with in regards to that.
So I'll say this first. There are many parts about legal practice that I'm very, very thankful for. So for any attorneys listening to this, just know I held no grudges against you. That said, we have seen as an industry, and certainly for the companies I've worked for, where attorneys have gone out locally to communities soliciting lawsuits, or at least threats of lawsuits. And what that's done in many different areas is open the eyes to the residents that if they just simply say, hey, this happened, and I'm going to sue you if you don't give me this, right? So it's become a pattern that I think a lot of management companies and owners are seeing. And so, you know, my suggestion for that is one, have a good relationship with your residents. You know, it's not the old landlord tenant relationship can be improved upon. And I think that's happening, not just through services, not saying, hey, you know, we'll tell you where the grocery store's at, but really learning who lives in your communities providing services that speak to them and just letting them know that we care about them. I mean, your home is your most intimate purchase that you make, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It really is, if you think about the connection that we make to our home. I think many people will drive by the home they grew up in, and there's an emotion that they get. And that means something. And so we in this industry are providing that. Mm-hmm. So building that relationship with them, I believe, will certainly lessen the unfair accusations or lawsuits that'll come. So that's the first thing, is address it with them. And the second thing is look at what the attorneys are saying and have legal representation that will truly seek truth on your behalf. Mm-hmm. What I have seen a trend of is where an attorney will come to us and say, hey, your resident, you know, tripped on something, or their car got hit by a tree branch on a bad storm, whatever it is, right? Things that typically are clearly stated as not the landlord responsibility in the lease, right? Or just common law. Mm-hmm. But they'll still come after us for that. What I've seen is that the insurance company, when we give it to the insurance company's attorney, their first and very rapid assumption is it's going to cost more to represent you than it is to just give them 20 grand mm-hmm. or 50 grand. And that's so damaging. Mm-hmm. It's so damaging, because what it's doing, where that's happening a lot across the industry, is one, it's showing the attorneys that, hey, you can settle, you're going to get your percentage, and it's no harm, no foul, right?
Right.
It's like not a lawsuit, not a lot of attorney fees. All the while, our insurance occurrences are increasing. Even though they're settling below the deductible and it's all coming out of our pocket as landlords, when they go look at our premium, guess what? It's going up.
Right.
Because we did have occurrences. So it's just a serious issue that needs to be looked at, where they're coming in. And we need to assume, again, that those things are going to happen and plan now to do things like improve our relationships with the residents, walk the property. If you know sidewalks have a jettison in them, fix it. Mm-hmm. And really do all you can to minimize the occurrence of it, but assume it's going to happen and act accordingly.
Yeah. I think one of the key things that you said regarding the insurance companies is that their desire to be quick to settle. And, you know, I don't know, is there anything you can do about that to encourage them to maybe try to seek the truth?
Well, I've tried. I mean, I'm not an expert at it, and I hope that everyone listening to you is better at it than I am. But I have. I've spoken to our representation with the law firms before, and I've told them, I was like, look, I feel like you're trying to build a case again. Because one person claims, you know, I tripped. They said, and the attorney will say, okay, I want to know about all tripping episodes across all 200 properties you manage, right? And you're like, wait, why do you want to build a case against us? That's what mm-hmm. it feels like. Now, I know that may not be what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They said that they're trying to build a case in case the opposing counsel comes at us. But I've just been very frank with them. I say, look, why don't you spend more time trying to portray truth, that it's not our responsibility to make sure that a branch doesn't hit their car or mm-hmm. something that's just clearly not, versus saying, well, how many storms have you had across all your properties in the past 6 months, and how horrible are you to have a storm? I mean, what's wrong with you? It's, I'm being a little sarcastic, but at the same time, that principle is there, that I think you just tell them you really need them to represent the truth and not be afraid to tell that attorney, no, we're not going to settle with you. And no, it's clear, whether it's in the lease or anywhere else, that this is the right thing, right? It's not our responsibility, and we shouldn't pay a dime for that.
And the topic of backwards from bad, mm-hmm. where does that play into this? How does that help?
Well, okay, perfect. So you assume that you're going to be standing in front of a jury, mm-hmm. and folks, please listen to this. You assume that everything you've said is going to be subpoenaed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So where you have legal representation, either internally or just your landlord-tenant attorney, include them for privilege. And then for our leaders and folks on site, please, please do not email your regional manager and say, my goodness, it's so dark on this property, I wouldn't even bring my child, because I'm sure something bad's going to happen, mm-hmm. because that will be subpoenaed, mm-hmm. and it will sink the landlord in their ability to protect themselves legally. And so we have to be just very, very mindful of everything we say regarding issues that come up. And we have to train our teams that you don't make assumptions. I've had the situation before where someone will look at a scenario through a camera and assume because the left side of the pool was foggy that the pool is foggy. Well, turns out there was a smudge on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say, oh yeah, it was foggy. No wonder that person drowned and we couldn't see them and no one could see them, right? You've just got to be so careful not to make opinion-based comments, especially in writing. And if you know something to be true and you have factual evidence of it, great, but include your attorney.
Yeah.
Because that will save the day if you've gotten privilege and you're only saying things that you know to be true.
And I think one of the things that comes to mind with me is if you did a lot of the preventative maintenance items that you spoke about, you know, if you walk the property and you look for those health safety issues, I would think you've got to cut back on some of those occurrences that could happen. Obviously, things are out of your control. Storms, as you said, fires, things like that would be an issue. That's something that potentially is out of your control that you can't predict. But the preventative maintenance portion of that could play a lot in keeping those occurrences down.
Yeah.
And have you seen that to be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really goes hand in hand with caring about the people that call us home. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to take time to think, what is the experience like for someone coming home here every day? And if there's something that could cause bodily harm or even a big pothole, right, mm-hmm. that puts a hole in someone's tire because they hit it so hard or it bends their wheel, if we just, again, put ourselves in their positions, what would we want in our home? Even if you go buy a bag of concrete and fill the hole ourselves, right?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this huge project that you redo the entire parking lot. Just fix the hole. And you're going to lessen the chance that someone bends their wheel, pops their tire, and expects you to pay for it because they've been telling you about that hole for 6 months, right? And so, it's if you truly care about the residents, and you do for the leaders of these property management companies, this sounds sad, but you have to give your employees permission to care about the people that live with them and honestly to care about the employees that work for them. Because the old school way of landlord-tenant relationship is that they're there to pay rent, we're here to minimize expenses. And that approach does not generate positive relationships and it doesn't generate trust.
We got about a little bit over a minute left in this segment. I just wanted to ask you that you'd mentioned early on in the segment about developing those good relationships with your residents. And you also mentioned something about, for instance, having classes on how to operate fire extinguishers. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things in this last minute that you can kind of give us tips of things that they can do, people can do to create those better relationships and to potentially help in case something happened, they would already know what to do.
So in general, I'll back away from the last part of your question.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance that you have a chef or a dietitian that lives in your community.
Mm.
There's a very good chance that you got people that live with you that don't know how to eat healthfully,
mm.
that have simply never been told, drink a bunch of water.
Yeah.
So you can hold a class a couple of times a month to teach people how to eat in a healthy manner. You've probably got a financial planner that lives on your community. Have them come and teach a class a couple of times a month. There's any number of things you can do, and they're going to be better supported if you know who lives with you. So find out who's living there.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Well, we're going to be back with much more about this topic right after these messages and this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing today the topic of backwards from bad, doing the right things today with the assumption wrong things happen tomorrow. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a great industry thought leader, Mike Boone, the Chief Operating Officer of ITEX. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing the multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mike, we kind of spoke in the last segment about some of the things, and in the first segment as well, about some of the things that could happen. I wanted to ask you, what are, when it comes time for dealing with your residents, I know you said that you don't want to have, don't put anything in writing that could be subpoenaed, but it's also the conversations and the interactions you have with your residents that could cause those types of issues down the road. What do you suggest for that? And what have you seen that you think shouldn't happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny when you're trying to teach someone to do something, it's usually better to tell them what to do than what not to do. It's like the federal government teaches their counterfeit agents how to spot a counterfeit by only looking at the real thing. Mm-hmm. They never look at counterfeits. So. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I'll tell you a story. So there was a property that had lost power, mm-hmm. and it was very hot out, and there were elderly residents. And so knowing that a lot of these residents were litigious, that had the phone number for the local House representative, mm-hmm. And the mayor and everybody else, right? Everybody knew everybody there, and it got a lot of attention. So we immediately started with just over-communicating with the residents, going door to door, knocking on the door, saying, look, we got generators coming in, or, you know, there's going to be hot dogs served at whatever time, or if your fridge is getting hot, don't worry about it. We're going to give you money for the food. So over-communicating with them is crucial. Mm-hmm. And then documenting that communication and putting a timeline of everything you've done along the way, because when power goes out with a lot of folks, assume that they're going to be upset and make a public statement about it. Okay, the news will probably come get involved. There's also been an uptick in media coverage of events that happen at properties where a lot of folks live. So you've got to document what you're doing and be quick to share, here's every measure we're taking.
And that's an interesting point, because when you're thinking about backwards from bad, what about media coverage? I mean, what if you have something there and the media wants to come talk to someone from the management company? I mean, what do you do? What do you suggest they do?
I suggest that they consult with their legal department, because there's unscrupulous folks everywhere you go, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't know if that media member coming to you has good intentions or if they have bad intentions. You just don't know. And so almost anything you say can and might be turned to be something negative. And so I would say none of our operators should be speaking with the media without getting that legal guidance from their team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't have, as an on-site manager, don't look for your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. No, you don't want that. No. Because you're going to be sandwiched between people saying how horrible you are and that they asked you, you know, for a rent reduction, and I can't believe you raised my rent $30. Or you know, it's just, you just don't know what's going to be done with what you say. And so none of us on the operations side should have a desire, nor should we start engaging with media when these bad things happen. It's got to be guided by your legal team.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's a lot more we could cover on that, but I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about was something that you had indicated is important, which is the highest and best use of property supervisors. Mm-hmm. We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. We can carry on in our final segment with more, but kind of, our multi-site managers, what's their role? What do you see as the role?
So just a quick relative here. Mm-hmm. If anyone's watched The Office, Dwight would regularly go to Michael and announce his title as, "I am the assistant regional manager."
Yeah.
And Michael was so quick to say, "No, you are the assistant to the regional manager." And so for our regional managers in this industry, which means they supervise, let's say, five or more sites, they make a choice. They can be an assistant to the property manager, mm-hmm. right? Or they can be a regional manager and play the role of thinking wide and up, is what mm-hmm. I call it, right? And leading those managers to be future regional managers. So on the next segment, we can get into more detail. But in short, perspective is the only reason we have multiple levels overseeing these assets.
Mm-hmm.
Because if one person could have all perspective, we wouldn't need regional managers. We wouldn't need regional vice presidents or any of that tier of supervision. The one reason we have them is for perspective. And so as we talk through that, the regional manager without the right perspective is hurting the entire company and really the future performance of that property, because they're so focused downward. And I'm not saying that I'm not using that from a value statement. I'm just saying, downward at the property only.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking 6 months from now, right? They're not thinking, wait a minute, if we do this today, if we take action and execute on this task, right? I'm not talking about getting the grounds picked up. I'm talking about like a major implementation or initiative.
Mm-hmm.
If we do this, it's going to alleviate a problem that I'm having across 15 properties, right? They don't think, if they're not able to think broad across how is the entire company going or all of my assets, you're not going to see the success that you want to see.
So when you say that if they don't have the right perspective, mm-hmm. you're talking about if they're not thinking broadly,
yes,
as opposed to the principles of the company, what the company's principles might be, your mission statement might be.
Yes.
It's more of thinking across their portfolio,
yes,
and across time,
yes,
across a timeline as to how things would be affected.
Yeah. For instance, so if I have an assistant manager on the property who I like, has great integrity, has good core values, subscribes to the company,
mm-hmm.
core values and mission. And I think, okay, I'm going to make that assistant manager a manager now, and I'll just foster her along. I'll spend a lot of time with her and train her while she's sitting in the seat, right? And I get it. I don't think that's mean. I don't think that's bad. I'm not going to be too negative about that. But an alternative is for a regional manager to have a regional perspective. I've asked regionals that work for me before, What would your job look like if you had a very, very strong property manager, the strongest manager you've ever had work for you? Imagine they're in every seat of each of your properties. How would your focus be different than if you had every position filled, or at least a lot of them, by folks that have never done the job before who you like, but they're not thinking, they're not capable of thinking 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the road, right? They don't know things that happen in the industry from 5 to 10 years of experience because they're brand new in it.
Mm.
So that's the that's really the perspective focus that I'm talking about now. Yeah.
But you didn't tell me what their answer was. What was the question?
I went off on a trail, didn't I? Yeah. So ask that question again.
Yeah. No, so when you asked them the question of what would happen if you had a manager, what did they say? You know, a great manager in every seat. Did they understand that?
They understood the question, but I don't know that many of them can give me an answer.
Yeah.
And so for the regional managers out there, I would encourage you, think about that.
Yeah.
Just really give it thought and maybe write down. And you're going to find that, and work with your regional vice president or whoever that you really trust that's been in the industry a while, and think about the leadership things that you're going to start being able to do, because the goal, obviously, is to create a pipeline. So what can we do company-wide, right, or for your whole portfolio that elevates that property manager to truly be a property manager,
sure,
right, and not a glorified assistant? Same principle.
Mm-hmm.
What are things you can do to start then taking a property manager that's performing well and moving them to start getting the perspective of a regional manager so that you create a pipeline? The goals for the asset from the ownership, right? You get to start looking up, as I call it, right? You start thinking as an asset manager when you're a regional, and you start thinking long-term values. What can we put in place that has value down the road? What mm-hmm. ancillary income can we create? Creating value on an asset is a basic tenet of running these properties.
Yeah, I guess a lot of it also has to do with whatever the hold strategy is for the property, how long Absolutely. It's going to be held, and yeah. so forth when it yeah. comes to that. All right. Well, we're gonna break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of backwards from bad, doing the right things today with the assumption wrong things happen tomorrow. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a great industry thought leader, Mike Boone, the Chief Operating Officer of iTechs. And Mike, we kind of ended the last segment, we were talking about the highest and best use of property supervisors. What does highest and best use actually mean?
So that term's used in a lot of different industries, mm-hmm. and it can be applied to a widget, or it can be applied to a person. And so there's a book called StrengthsFinder, and it was written, I think, initially even in the 70s, and it's rewritten and updated since then. The idea behind that study is that people operate best when they're working in their strength sets. For instance, if someone's just great with people, having them be an accountant and sit behind a wall all day on numbers, not a good idea. They're not going to enjoy it, and they're not going to perform well. And so one of the benefits of a regional manager or a regional vice president having a perspective appropriately from their position is that they can identify people's strength sets. And when you do that, you find out all kinds of great things. Like, you probably have, if you're operating 10 properties, you probably have a property manager that's fantastic at marketing. And you probably have a handful that are kind of terrible at it.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't mean they can't run that asset and get great results. But if you've got a property that's a property manager that's fantastic at marketing, the highest and best use of that, don't be offended, that tool, right? It's a tool mm-hmm. in your toolbox, right? That person mm-hmm. is to get some of that knowledge spread across the portfolio, mm-hmm. right? The highest and best use of a regional manager is to keep broad perspective so that they're always keeping an eye on the most important items across the entire set of assets and contributing what they learn to the entire organization so that the whole company grows from everything that they're learning.
So for instance, in the example that you gave about a property manager being a great marketer mm-hmm. and spreading that knowledge and expertise across portfolio, if a regional manager recognizes that, which is part of their job, I would imagine, to mm-hmm. recognize the strengths of the people that work at the properties, how could they help to get that spread across? What could they do, or what do you recommend?
So the first thing is pay attention.
Yeah.
And you have to be very purposeful and execute. That is probably every industry, one of the hardest things to do is actually do something. I know this sounds weird, but it's the key. So do something, have a meeting and go over and talk to them, line up the five areas of strengths that you need to identify and talk to each person and say, what are you strong at? What do you enjoy doing? And guess what? Those two are usually the same. Mm-hmm. Okay. So find out what they enjoy doing. That's probably their strength set. And then brainstorm with them. How can we use your talents across the organization? And it's not a one-time meeting that you have. You have to get to know them and see where they perform, but give them opportunities to perform in areas that maybe is not standard for their job. You know, have a contest that involves some marketing skill if you just don't know where any of them are.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed, I'm just curious about this, that you had somebody in a supervisory position, regional manager, and for some reason their performance started to, not meet the expectations, started to go downhill. And if so, what do you do? Obviously, if they were a good employee at one time and they're having... Mm-hmm. Do you try to help them work through things as far as what's causing that?
Most certainly. I think first you got to focus on results,
yeah.
right? Because no one can argue with that.
Yeah.
And so you go to them and you say, okay, this is what we're seeing. What do you think the solution is? And what do you think the root cause is? And so, you know, we have meetings and every company probably does every Monday, and every regional gets on the phone. They identify, and everybody makes sure that they're all in agreement, what the areas we're struggling with are, whether it's occupancy, collections, staffing, whatever it is. And their first question and answer is, what are you struggling with? The next item is, what's the root cause? And the next item is, what do you think the solution is? And where they don't know, which is okay, by the way, if they don't know, mm-hmm. there's a whole team on the phone to help them come up with the solution. If the person wants to do well, and it's not an issue where they're just tired, where they just need to go somewhere else. You know, they've just been there too long, or they just don't care about that industry anymore, whatever it is. You got to judge whether it's attitude or just simple needing some motivation. And usually focusing on results, setting goals, that's hugely important, and having deadlines is crucial. And I think once they know that they're held accountable, they'll want to step up if they're really wanting to do well. And some of them, it's just too much. I mean, I don't blame anybody for saying, you know what? I'm kind of tired of property management. I get it.
Right.
I get it. And you've got to identify that. If it's just they just don't have the desire for it anymore. But if they do, and they just need some guidance, then yeah, just focus on results, deadlines, milestones, how to get there.
That's all great information. I've got I had someone tell me recently that they had a property manager who was a superstar, and but the property manager wanted, you know, to advance. They didn't have any positions as far as a regional position available to move them up into because they had all their positions filled.
Yeah.
What can you do in a situation like that to keep that property manager there or create something for them? What would you recommend?
Be tactical.
Yeah.
So just look to see what that person's great at. Let's say you're an affordable property. You have an affordable properties. If you have an affordable portfolio, there's a good chance that there's research not done. So you say, look, you are fantastic at getting research done. You're so great at meeting deadlines. We've got 7 properties that are just struggling. They all have different reasons why they're struggling. I want you for the next month to spend 30% of your time helping them. Mm. Identify the root cause, come up with a solution, and go help them. And then you tell them, for every property that has a 60% improvement or better, you're going to get a $300 bonus.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So you give them some additional responsibility where they have their strengths. We talked about strengths.
Right.
And then you also give them the incentive of being able to earn more.
Yeah. I find there's 3 main things that makes a happy employee in my experience. And I'm sure there's 100 ways to argue with this. But my opinion is if they know what their job is, right, they know what's expected of them, if they have the tools and the training to do that, and then they're praised for their success when they're successful, they're typically going to be happy. And if you go backwards through that, when someone isn't sure what their job is or it's confusing, that can be very frustrating. When someone knows what it is, but they don't know, they don't have the tools to do it, that's very frustrating. When they're doing it and doing well or doing poorly, and they're not being held accountable or they're not being recognized for doing well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
So those 3 tenets, if they're there, typically folks will be motivated. But sometimes you have to go out of the day-to-day property management and get them to do some extra stuff, you know, extra focus.
One final question before we transition to something else. I mean, you're in a situation with ITEX where you're the chief operating officer, and I'm sure there's regional vice presidents, and there's and then there's regional managers and so forth. What I mean, the property management, the on-site team always, I would think, sees the regional manager.
Mm-hmm.
Is it important for them to see the regional vice presidents and the chief operating officers from time to time? And if so, how do you make that happen?
Absolutely. And if you remember when I was talking about highest and best use, perspective, it's all perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to a property, I'm going to have a different perspective because either I've never been there or it's been months since I have the regional vice president role that supervisor regional. They will have a different perspective. I'm not just talking about going and saying, look, there's some blinds that are broken.
Yeah.
It's, hey guys, why don't we change our foyer completely to generate some energy in this area so when people come to look for a place to live, they can be excited about it. Or the current residents will really enjoy this change over here with this little gazebo that we have, you know, whatever it is. So yes, absolutely every role, even accountants. I mean, if an accountant goes and spends time on site, they're going to understand that these property managers have 75 things to do every day, if not more. And a very good property manager is simply good at deciding what not to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. I want to transition, though, Mike, and I want to let you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got in the business. I will note, you mentioned the Institute of Real Estate Management. You are a certified property manager. You've earned the CPM designation, which is the highest and best designation you can get. Even people that in the apartment industry who have NAA credentials, they seek that credential. But tell us a little bit about how you got in the business.
Well, I was in the Air Force, and I knew I couldn't have a family life with what I was doing. And so the community I was living in had some nice people that worked there. So I literally went down one day and said, hey, what do you guys do? And they were taking the paper ledger cards where we hand wrote on there and putting them into this DOS-based local install program called RentRoll. And I said, well, okay, I don't, what's a ledger? I started learning. A friend of mine named Steve Carey, he was running the commercial division. I met him at Augie's retirement party. Guys, this is 1994 or so I'm talking about, so it's a little while ago. But at Augie's retirement party, I met Steve, and he took me under his wing. We did an absorption study for all of the office space in the Omaha metro area. And then shortly after, I moved to Tallahassee and worked for Dennis Fuller. And since then, I've just had the privilege of working for the owner of each company I've been at. And that's taught me the owner perspective on how to run assets. And it's just been a blast. I really enjoy it. I love serving the company I'm at. I try to, I'm confident, right? But measuring that with humility, something I always try to focus on, because really what makes me the happiest in a role is to see someone improve the results that they get, because that gives them such value, and it makes them enjoy coming to work each day.
All right, tell us a little bit about iTechs, and I do want to let our listeners know, if you go to the episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, to this episode page, there will be the iTechs logo, and when you click on it, it'll take you to the iTechs website. But tell us a little bit about iTechs, what you're looking for, and also how someone could get in touch with you if they wanted to.
So my email is mike.boone, B-O-O-N-E, at iTechs, I-T-E-X-G-R-P.com.
Okay.
So I chose iTechs recently because of the people, 100% because of the people. Affordable is harder than market. They're all owned where I'm at. The company owns these properties. So that's a little bit easier than fee management sometimes, but we are going to be getting into fee management. So probably in about 6 months, the industry will see me out there soliciting business. So if you guys need help running your Florida communities, stay tuned. And then as far as staffing, we're growing. And I'm always looking for superstars, somebody that really wants to grow. If you're a great assistant manager, reach out. We will find a place for you. If you're a great property manager, but you want to be a regional, we are going to have pathway to promotion guidance that we give you so that we can help folks move forward in their career. That's what it really means a lot to me to be able to help people do that.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here today. It was a great episode, and look forward to having you back again soon sometime. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.